8 o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. You could win yourself a bottle of Talon Wine today. So we've had some texts. We've had a lot of texts. Our mobile app, our streaming's down at the moment. It's down for all the stations. And those that have texted and have tried to reply to you about that, like Mike from Scottsdale, Marty's listening on the radio today. Thank you, Marty, for doing that.
Why can't Mike do that? Come on, Mike. Dial in your radio. Mike, come on, buddy.
You know our signal doesn't quite go that far, right? It doesn't get to Scottsdale, Arizona.
I mean, when there's stuff to give away for free, he figures out a way to listen. So, I mean,
he was the winner of our PGA Championship contest with GJ Golf.
Come on.
We've got Ty on board once again, GJ Golf, the next major. So, looking forward to that. But Dom, I had texted him back as well that the app is down. Oh, it's back on now. Thank you, Mike in Scottsdale. It is back on.
Maybe he dialed in the 1340 AM signal a little stronger down south.
You know that's not true, right?
Monument.
You know that's not true, right?
That who lets the facts get in the way of a good story?
Now, occasionally, though, facts you bring this up. I do get letters from ham operators, from people that, you know, in like Finland and Norway,
yeah,
where they will ask me to verify. They'll send me an audio clip, and it'll be 1340.
The old atmosphere. I mean, so occasionally
it will bounce around up there in the atmosphere on occasion. But I'm saying if you're looking for a really good listenable signal, on Scottsdale, 1340 is probably not going to get it done. But the mobile app on the stream will, and it is back up and running for Marty and Dom and Mike. But Marty, you can just keep it on the radio. Come on.
Mainly for Marty and Dom.
Yeah. And Mike in Scottsdale, too. Settle down. Simmer down there, sport. Simmer down.
I'm simmering. That's why I said.
Okay. Start out the 8 o'clock hour with your wines today. Wine About a Wednesday. We were wine about our computer, having some issues this morning. The app being off. Trying to think what else. Your car situation after the car accident.
Yeah, that's been a lot of fun.
What's the status update on your car?
They did the old little breakdown of the damages and submitted the info to my insurance guy. So they're looking at like $13,000 plus and 80 cents. I don't know why the 80 cents sticks with me, but I think that's what's going to put me
over. It's just 80 cents too much for you. So. You reached your breaking point on that. You have a limit.
Ken and Jeremy over there at State Farm are like, you know what? We would have, but that 80 cents, you know. Inflation. Sorry, Buckeye Boy.
Sorry, man.
Yep. So.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry about that, buddy.
So we're essentially car shopping now. So car apps. Okay. Back on the phone.
And I hate to tell you that from my brother doing body work for years and stuff like
I held out hope just because it didn't look bad, but I was pretty much. I just didn't want to lose the car.
I know, because it's a great car. Yeah, it's a really nice car.
So, but, you know, the thing I miss the most, to be honest, the keyless everything. I was really spoiled, where I don't have to, like, hit a button on the keychain. You know, I can have the keys in my pocket, just hit the button on the car, open the door, hit the button in the car to start it. I don't have to fish a key or a fob out of my pocket. That kind of sort of blows. You know, when you have your hands full of stuff and you don't have your garage door opener, so you got to dig those keys out too. That's kind of a pain in the butt. A very underrated pain in the butt.
Yeah, and
for Wine About It Wednesday.
I'm old school with it's 2005? Mm-hmm. A 2005 Chevy Colorado.
I'm an old man.
Yeah. It's got the fob that opens and locks the door. Mm-hmm. And it requires a key to start it. Otherwise, it is about as
spoiled.
Old school, early 2000s as you're going to get.
Do you have a separate key to unlock your gas tank?
No.
I had a car like that.
No, I do not. I do not have that.
That was my first car. Had a separate key for the gas tank. It was the gas tank and door key, and then a separate key for the ignition. It was weird.
What was your first car?
A 1988 Oldsmobile Calais. So the Grand Am, Pontiac Grand Am, but Oldsmobile. Yeah.
You were styling, man.
That thing sucked. I got pulled over once on the way to high school. State patrol officer said I was doing 91, and I just laughed because there's no way I was doing that. I was going
check
that
your
fast.
Sir, no disrespect. Please check your radar gun.
Pretty much. He's like, what's so funny? I'm like, this car doesn't go that fast, especially with six high schoolers in it. Are you serious? He's like, well, keep your speed down. Like, yes, sir, but we weren't going that fast.
So you were doing 91 where?
Right at the wastewater treatment plant, apparently. I wasn't doing 91. There's no way.
Okay. You're on the interstate.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to say, wait a minute. Were you doing 91 just like going down Patterson or something?
No.
Holy crow.
Going out to Fruit of Monument High School. Okay. It's K Road. Come on now. Do 91 on K Road, what everybody does. No, we were on the highway. Was I over 75? Maybe.
Yeah.
But there's no way I was over 90. Not a chance in that car. Because it sucked.
First car that I had was a truck. 1974, just going way back, Datsun pickup.
There you go.
Two-wheel drive that my brother got from these dudes. They were hippies from California.
You could fit one adult comfortably.
And they lived next to my uncle. And these guys wanted to sell the truck. And my brother's like, I don't know. It was beat up and it wasn't terrible, but needed some work. And he opens up the hood and it's got a 327 Chevy engine in it. And Bob goes, yeah, I'll take it for that $100 or whatever.
Yeah.
And God rest my late brother, his soul, why they thought it was a good idea to let me have that truck. A two-tone paint job on it and had gold anodized rims. It was a beautiful truck, really cool little truck. That ran like a son of a gun because it had a 327 Chevy engine and a Datsun pickup truck. And you preferred the K Road thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I was one of those guys that did that on K Road.
Yep.
And I was doing something
Interstate
around
K.
what you were accused of doing was what I got pulled over for.
Old Interstate K out there.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. So
a little better now, but
yeah.
That 2021 road interchange at K Road with the kind of the curves on.
Oh,
that could cause some problems.
So, Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Buckeye's got his car issues right now. He's going to have to get a new car after your little senior accident that you had.
Yeah, I know.
It happens. It happens.
And thanks to the hospital, by the way. I got glass in my hand, and they're telling me the way to figure it out, the best way to just scrub it really hard. Thanks. I could have done that at home. It make me sit out here for three hours. Thank you. I appreciate that. And then charge me $900.
Now you want to put a Band-Aid on that. Maybe some Neosporin.
They did. They looped it up with some, gunk and then tried to stick a Band-Aid on there that just slid right off. Like, I could have told you that wasn't going to work.
All right. So there you go. A few things to whine about
long
today.
Long history medical experience.
Well, why don't you cry about it?
All right, we start out normally the 8 o'clock hour talking some NFL, talking Broncos. Broncos continued OTAs yesterday. Organized Team Activities, by the way, if you don't know the acronym there. That continued yesterday at the UC Health Facility. New coach.
Technically optional.
Voluntary.
Yeah.
New head coach Nathaniel Hackett, offensive coordinator Justin Outen, continues their install of their offense with quarterback Russell Wilson. A guy that hopes to really benefit from Wilson being there and the new offense is Courtland Sutton. And he says, from what he's seen so far, he's loving it.
Similar-ish to the offense that we ran in 19 that we found a lot of success with. A lot of guys were able to, the ball was going all over the place and everyone was been able to make plays. And that's one thing that we're seeing with this offense,
All right, so there's Courtland Sutton. They're off today, back at it tomorrow over at UC Health and Pro Football Focus. They're doing their annual rankings of players at every position group. And according to Mile High Sports, that it doesn't look like they have a great opinion about the Broncos roster. They did handed out a less than favorable ranking to Javonte Williams, easy for me to say. And now they're looking at the top pass rushers. The ranking, by the way, for Javonte Williams, to provide some context on that, they ranked Najee Harris and Josh Jacobs ahead of Javonte Williams. That they have Williams ranked as the league's 12th best running back behind Josh Jacobs, Najee Harris, and Christian McCaffrey. Should he be ranked behind those guys, considering the season he had last year?
Who give me the list again?
They had ranked in front of him Josh Jacobs, Najee Harris, Christian McCaffrey. I'm trying to find the entire list. But those guys are all ranked ahead of him. He had more all-purpose yards than McCaffrey has had over the last two seasons. Keep in mind, McCaffrey's had a lot of injuries. But that's Javonte Williams was there year one as a rookie and played really, really well. I mean, I get it. You can say, if McCaffrey's healthy, he's a fantasy beast and all these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But he's never on the field anymore. Availability, what do we say? Availability is part of it, yeah.
If you're going by career to this point, probably. But if you're basing it strictly on last season, he should not be ahead.
It's based on last season.
McCaffrey should not be ahead. Josh Jacobs, that's kind of a push. Yardage, close to the same, at least running the ball. 58 yards a game for Jacobs, 53 for Javonte. 4.4 for Javonte, 4 even per carry, 5 more touchdowns for Josh Jacobs. I'm okay with Josh Jacobs being ahead of him. Who was the third one? Najee Harris?
Najee Harris, who...
Yeah, I'm okay with Najee being ahead of him because Najee Harris had a good year. He had 1,200 yards.
Williams, though, in all the every rate-based stat, was outperformed by Javonte Williams. According to what the article says, Williams has the edge at missed tackles, force per touch. I mean, a lot of stats like that.
Right.
That he has the upper hand.
A lot of the things that is not really. I mean, I don't know how you quantify it from one player to the next. Like missed tackles. That has some to do with you, but a lot to do with the technique of the guy that's trying to tackle you, which is not in Javonte Williams' control. Najee Harris did lead the league in touches, did have 10 total touchdowns, had almost 1,700 yards of total offense, and was in the playoffs. I'd probably put Najee Harris above Javonte Williams.
Yeah, and I don't have a huge problem with that. I mean, also, you look at Javonte Williams, split time with Melvin Gordon. That's going to drive your numbers down.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving up touches there. So...
And rightly or wrongly, on the national scale, man, if you can't beat out Melvin Gordon at this point, how good are you? There is a little of that.
Which I don't think is entirely
fair.
It's not fair because it's not reality. They want to use two backs and they want to split the load. And it's not that. It's not like Melvin Gordon is a terrible running back anymore either. That's not true at all.
If you're going just on a running back, not what he does catching the ball out of the backfield, but just rushing the ball, he should be ranked behind the other dude on his team. Because Melvin Gordon had more yards, more touchdowns, better yards per carry, better yards per game, just running the football. It's catching the ball out of the backfield that separated Javonte Williams, but only by 100-some-odd yards. So, I mean, to say that, he maybe is ahead of like Najee Harris or Josh Jacobs, I don't know if that's accurate.
And those are guys that got the bulk of the carries on their football teams. I mean, you look around and Callum Ballage, the former Colorado Prep standout.
Yeah.
He was one of the backups. Not exactly. He was a guy that got 12 carries, 36 yards. I mean, the bulk of that was Najee Harris touching the football.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with Josh Jacobs with the Raiders. I think it's hard to evaluate when you've got a guy that splits carries. I'm also not going to get get my underwear in a wad.
Right.
Because, oh, they, how dare they disrespected Javonte Williams. In the end, you know Williams is good.
Mm-hmm.
He's a productive player and has had an outstanding rookie season. Does he deserve probably more credit than that? Yeah, he probably does. Maybe a little bit of higher ranking. But I can't say that over Najee Harris right now or Jacobs, he's probably, because of the situation mm-hmm. he's in, those are the guys, the go-to backs in their offenses.
Right. And like I said, for national rankings people that look at numbers, you know, just watch the games, eyeball tests, that sort of thing, but aren't locked in every single day on a specific team, where they ranked him is probably more than fair, to be honest, when he's not, when it comes to running the football, not even the best guy on his team. Whether he splits carries or not, that's just the plain fact of, yeah. In his chances, he had less rushing production than Melvin Gordon.
Because the opportunities just weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
But they had the same amount of carries, so really were opportunities not there for him. They were, he just didn't produce as much as Melvin Gordon running the ball.
Right, but if Melvin Gordon is not on that roster and it's pretty much it is Javonte Williams, there are more opportunities there for him.
Yeah, probably.
But you're right. I mean, they got similar amount of carries. Melvin Gordon had the production. And like I said, maybe they should be talking about Melvin Gordon in this conversation even more than Javonte Williams.
They each had 203 carries.
Yeah, so you can't.
So from there, it's very easy to determine who was better.
you don't get it any more even than that. Let's see. They also at Pro Football Focus evaluated the Broncos' pass rushers. Randy Gregory made their list. They have him as the NFL's 13th best edge rusher, placing him in the third tier of players. Bradley Chubb was left off that list. Yeah, he should be.
Yeah, he should be.
Sorry. You can whine and complain that he should be on there, but tell me why he should be on there.
Give me 34 games in a row where he's actually contributing. You know what I mean? Give me two seasons worth. Not a season here, 5 games here, 4 games here, 9 games there. Play a full season. Play 2 back-to-back, and then come talk to me.
Play back-to-back where you have 13 to 14 sacks a season.
Yeah.
And you're not on this list or higher on this list, then, okay, you got a reason to complain. But he doesn't. When you're hurt all the time, why would you expect to be on that list? I mean, I don't think Bradley Chubb cares. But if you're writing about it, why would you think he'd be on that list? Because the tone right. is, well, they should be thinking about him being on this list. Why? It's disrespectful to the Broncos and they only have Randy Gregory on the list. Well, yeah, Randy Gregory's actually played.
Yeah. There's...
You know, I mean, even though he's missed time,
mm-hmm.
Bradley Chubb has missed probably almost as much time in some ways as Randy Gregory. I'd have to look at the same... Mm. To look at their...
I think Randy's missed more, but...
I mean, the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not... Over the course of time, of course, Gregory's been in the league longer
mm-hmm.
than Bradley Chubb.
You know where the Broncos' leading sack getter from last year? First of all, can you tell me who it was?
Malik Reed?
Nope. Shelby Harris.
Oh, okay.
With 6. Do you know where he was ranked in the NFL?
Shelby Harris?
Shelby Harris in sacks.
He had 6.
Ranked. He had 6.
Oh, wow.
As many as Alex Highsmith and Al-Quadin Muhammad.
30th. I don't know.
55th.
Okay. I know it's way far, way down the list, way
that
far down.
That was your leading sack getter. So with the, it's disrespectful. They only had one guy that's never played for them yet on the, not really.
Yeah.
Pass rushing. That's why they went out and got so many pass rushers.
That's right.
Because they couldn't get to the guy, no matter who it was.
All right. Also, final thing here before we take a break, Cody Rourke will join us in just a moment.
Vaughn was 19th, but he got a lot of those sacks in L.A.
Right. The NFL is closing in on finishing off their investigation of Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. That Roger Goodell said they're moving toward a conclusion on the whole thing. Said I can't give you a timeline. We're nearing the end of the investigative period, and then it'll be handled by our disciplinary officer. And that disciplinary officer which is, according to Pro Football Talk, jointly hired and paid by the NFL and the NFL Players Association, will make a decision on discipline after the NFL proposes a punishment. Goodell then handles any appeal unless the disciplinary officer decides to impose no discipline at all. And I know coming up on Real Sports on HBO, they will have a segment on this where they interview some of the victims in the situation. And it does not paint a very good picture of Deshaun Watson from all accounts.
I mean, 22 accusers, I can't imagine it's going to be a pro Watson piece.
Well, now that you're getting to hear more and more of what actually from their perspective happened, it makes it, according to all reports, even worse. Also, looks like the NFL is going to launch its own streaming service called NFL Plus, by the way. League expected to sell the service for roughly $5 per month. Could change, though. It's not Sunday Ticket, because some thought they might roll Sunday Ticket over to that. Fans would be limited to the games they otherwise could see on local TV. So look for ESPN Plus to be heading your way in the near future.
So essentially, we're paying $5 for things that you can get anyway for free.
At the moment, yes.
Radio, podcasts, miscellaneous team-related content.
Stuff you could probably find if you want to go do some hunting, you could probably find for free.
Creative name, too, Plus.
Because nobody ever uses that
Disney
for their
Plus, Hulu Plus.
For their streaming service.
CNN Plus. Oh, that's toast now.
That's gone.
Good job, guys.
Adios. 8:22. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And Locked On Broncos podcast host Cody Rourke joins us next on the Jim Davis Show. Got something to complain about today. It's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Text or call the show, 970-242-1340.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa. The team. Locked On Broncos host Cody Rourke.
Here we go!
On the Jim Davis Show on the team.
8:26 with us right now, Locked On Broncos podcast host, soon to be part of Mile High Sports in Denver, Cody Rourke. Good morning, Cody. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well. How are the preparations for moving to Denver? How's that going for you?
You know, it's fun. Fun as always, trying to get everything going, the moving truck, cleaning the house, you know, all that stuff. But last week I went down to Denver to kind of get acclimated with everything that's, get the transition, the process, and actually had a chance to go at the Dove Valley last Thursday. So it's been fun. It's been fun, and it's going to be even more hectic towards the end of the month.
No doubt about it. Broncos going through OTAs right now. They have today off. They're back at it tomorrow. And from what you've been able to watch, whether it's been in person or whether it's been on some of the video, from the Broncos about OTAs, what's been the takeaway initially on the offense? Because I know that Courtland Sutton said yesterday reminds him a lot of what they did in 2019. They spent a lot of time working on the red zone portion of their offense with Nathaniel Hackett and Justin Outten, the new offensive coordinator. What's been the takeaway for you from what you've seen so far?
Well, obviously, the cliche answer is Russell Wilson is definitely in control of things on the offensive side of the ball. A lot of people are wowed by what he's been able to do, just his accuracy and just how attention to detail he is in his preparation. It's something that many people have told me stands out about him. But also Greg Dulcich, the Broncos rookie tight end that they drafted from UCLA, he's also been turning heads as well, you know, dating back to rookie minicamp just about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. And then this week, getting on the field with the veterans during OTAs, he's been one of those guys that stood out. And so it's going to be very hard to ignore Dulcich this upcoming season, something that even Russell Wilson has name-dropped Dulcich as well. So, I mean, anytime your franchise quarterback's dropping you by name, it means that you're turning heads in practice. And, it's against air, it's OTAs, but this is the important part. This is where you work on chemistry with one another. This is where you work on install, carrying over playbook concepts onto the field, and as you talked about, working in the red zone, where the Broncos were bottom 10 last season. They've been a bottom 10 red zone offense for the last several years, and so now they're hoping that they can become a top 10 unit in that category. And if that's the case, the Broncos will have a lot of success here this upcoming season.
Yeah, I think during this playoff drought, 19th in red zone offense was the highest ranking they've had. So it has been a problem for a very, very long time. And when you look at Russell Wilson and his relationship right now with Nathaniel Hackett, we're still in the very early stages. But that was part of the problem in Seattle, the disconnect between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson about what those two thought the offense should look like with the Seahawks. And kind of take us through how you see the relationship right now with Hackett and Russell Wilson in terms of picking the brain of Wilson, offering up his thoughts, and how that's working with Justin Outen as the offensive coordinator of integrating Russell Wilson's desires into this offense.
Yeah, it's about kind of marrying the two concepts of the outside zone offense and Nathaniel Hackett's familiar with, something that Green Bay utilized with the run game. But ideally, it's marrying that with what Russell Wilson is super good at, throwing on the run, moving out, play action. There's a lot of different things that they want to do. And one thing that Nathaniel Hackett did say is, you know, I want to know what Russ likes. I want to know what Russ dislikes. And I want to find a way how we could be on the same page. There is that collaboration there. You know, with Pete Carroll, it's like, hey, this is the offense we're going to run. We're going to run it this way. We're going to run the ball. We're not going to throw the ball in this situation. I didn't really offer much input to Russell Wilson from that kind of standpoint, you know, and something that I feel like he has earned over his career is the ability to be able to do that. I mean, you reach this rare echelon of quarterbacks that, you know, pre-snap are allowed to check out of something, right? We think about the Patrick Mahomes's, the Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert's now getting to that point. But, like, Russell Wilson's been one of those guys that, you know, pre-snap, he can come to the line of scrimmage and say, hey, kill, kill, kill. We have to change this based on the defensive front. He's very good at identifying that. And that's even something that Justin Simmons said stands out the most about Russell Wilson is that, hey, he already comes in, he already knows pre-snap what the defense is in. He's very smart at picking that apart, and it just goes through his film study. So it's really about marrying what Russell Wilson is good at, what Russ likes, with what Nathaniel Hackett and this offense can do to take advantage of opposing defenses. So I think that the collaboration is completely there. It's 100% open, which is a good sign. You know, Nathaniel Hackett is doing for Russell Wilson what Pete Carroll refused to do, and we could see it pay off big.
Locked On Broncos podcast host, soon to join the Mile High Sports radio family over in Denver. Cody Rourke with us this morning on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Peter King released his power rankings heading into the season. Denver's 14th. The problem is that Denver, of the AFC West teams, is last in those rankings. Vegas is right ahead at number 13. You have, of course, the Los Angeles Chargers, who Peter King thinks very highly of as the number two team behind Buffalo, Kansas City number three. So your impression of those rankings, Cody, and is that a fair place to put the Broncos at number 14?
I mean, I think 14 is a fair place with just the fact that the Raiders, granted, they have a lot of new changes. Yes, they traded for Davante Adams. Yes, they acquired Chandler Jones. Outside of that, I don't understand what the hype is right now about the Raiders. They have a very, very good team. Do not get me wrong, but I feel like the moves that Denver has made have put them in a better trajectory. And really, Denver's issues against the Raiders the last couple of seasons has really been the offensive side of the ball. And granted, you know, Derek Carr has carved up the Broncos, you know, the last couple of years as well defensively with the quick passing game. Denver, I think, is more intact. And, you know, I get it. They're going with the whole Josh McDaniels hype train right here as a big reason why. There's still a lot of questions as to what they're going to do going forward. So I think the Raiders spot is a little interesting ahead of the Broncos. But then again, you know, I think the AFC West is going to be a coin flip this year, I think, between any of those teams. Unfortunately, you can't have four teams in the playoffs, but I think you can have three. It's up to Denver to take advantage of that early part of the schedule, get some wins while Kansas City faces one of the toughest six-game starts in the entire NFL. If Denver can do that, I think that, you know, at the end of the year, we'll see how the power rankings really go. But, you know, like for me, power rankings, they're always an interesting conversation piece, but definitely don't hold a lot of merit.
Cody Rourke joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And it's kind of like when Pro Football Focus puts out rankings. And look, I appreciate the time, the work that they put into their rankings. But you can take them for what they are, or you can lose your mind if you're a Broncos fan about Javonte Williams being ranked behind Josh Jacobs and Najee Harris, or Randy Gregory being the only Broncos edge rusher ranked. And what about Bradley Chubb and all these kind of things? I think you can get really caught up in that stuff if you're a fan and you're outraged that why don't they think this team's better than what I think they are. I just find that kind of interesting of the outrage about some of these Pro Football Focus rankings.
Yeah, well, and I can tell you, I think there's some things that Pro Football Focus does that has value. You know, when we talk about charting the percentage of snaps, I think that's probably the most valuable thing they do, in my opinion. But the grades, though, they, you know, they have no idea. Like, these, the analysts who break down and give these grades do not know the coverage of a defensive player. They do not know what that player is coached to do, what his aiming point is. They just look at it based off of the scale, and they try to apply it to the game tape that they watch, and that's always the frustrating thing. But, you know, most NFL GMs, agents, they don't care about PFF grades, because anytime they try to bring up a PFF grade in a contract negotiation, you know, a lot of times the agent will get laughed out of the building. So, you know, that when I do see PFF grades and things like that, I always encourage fans, like, hey, don't invest too much stock into it, because they don't have all the information, and players have a field day with laughing at PFF grades as well. So,
well, good to know that.
Just, yeah, it's usually those outrage pieces. But you know what, Jim? It is good for getting engagement, and I'd say that's one thing that PFF does really well.
It certainly does. Hey, Cody, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, and we'll grab you again next week.
Absolutely, Jim. Thank you so much. And go Tigers.
All right. Cody Rourke, Locked On Broncos podcast host, soon to be part of the Mile High Sports Radio family over in Denver, joining us on the program today. All right, coming up,
he's
Connor
right,
McGay.
Though. Pro Football Focus, clicks, baby, clicks.
Oh, you bet. And
oh, man.
Everybody hate from clicks. His new employer, Mile High Sports, yeah. To, you know, every Colorado sports blog and all yep. across the country, either look what they think of our
pro
guys.
Pro my viewpoint, anti yeah. my viewpoint.
Yep. Yeah, or look how they're disrespecting us. Yeah. Look how they hate our football team.
Clicks, baby, clicks.
You got it. All right, let's get into four down territory.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right, we had the row last week between Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher over name, image, likeness.
I heard and something about that.
Buying a recruiting class at A&M and all these things. Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, he has some thoughts about what Saban said about name, image, likeness. And in some ways, Kiffin does agree with Saban about that, you know, some have used it in some programs to buy their recruiting classes. But the difference is that Kiffin doesn't think that's necessarily a bad thing. He says, look, let's be honest about college football. It's professional football.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe there needs to be the approach now, with it being what his opinion is now a professional league, they need to have a salary cap. There needs to be a cap on name, image, likeness, on how much money each team can get in regard to NIL.
Right.
Is that a good idea?
Yeah, probably.
Because I don't know what else you're going to do right now.
But also, this not,
name, image, likeness isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
If the NCAA had any sort of significant, actual, honest-to-God leadership, they would have come up with that before just Greenlee. Hey, do whatever, fellas.
I've said that a million yep. times, that before it ever got to the Supreme Court, Ed O'Bannon, any yeah. of that stuff, they should have been looking to this a long, long time ago
mm-hmm.
and should have been finding a way to deal with it, and they chose not to.
Absolutely.
All right, second down. Michael Jordan. He's been in some TV commercials, Hanes, Nike ads with Mars
maybe
Blackmon. Maybe you've heard of Michael Jordan. The basketball player has also, on occasion in the past, been an actor. Space Jam, for example. But apparently, there's been an actor that wanted to play Michael Jordan in a Michael Jordan movie.
Is it Michael B. Jordan?
And this actor got turned down
oh.
by Michael Jordan. And no, it's not Michael B. Jordan. Can you guess who the actor was that wanted to play Michael Jordan in a movie about him?
Give me a hint.
Just going to totally give it away. He's been in a variety of films like Pacific Rim. I'm trying to give you stuff that's a little...
Okay, I haven't seen it.
In the running to be James Bond.
Idris Elba?
Idris Elba approached Michael Jordan about playing
him
in a movie.
Mike had a little bit too much Sincoro? I would take that if I'm Mike.
He said, I even said to Jordan one time, I want to play you. He was like, I'm not ready yet. That's what he said. I'm not ready yet.
Oh, come on, Mike. What's going on?
He says, in my head, playing Jordan wouldn't be about the basketball player. It'd be about the businessman. He's a very astute businessman, really smart. So that's where I was hinting at. I was like, I want to play Jordan. I'm doing that. But how
right,
much of
a call, Mike?
But also too, how much of that's going to be interesting if it's not about Jordan, the basketball player?
I know enough about Jordan, the basketball player. I want to know about Jordan hungover game six against Utah. Sorry, it's not food poisoning. I want to know about Jordan suspended from basketball because he was gambling.
Fine. But
to
that's
go play baseball.
But he's talking about him being the astute businessman and more almost like after all of that.
I'm not going to watch that movie.
I don't care about that.
I don't care about
him. I'm with you
on
the stuff. It's got to be, you know, it's got to be involving his playing career.
I don't need to know about Mike's inability to put together a competitive basketball team.
All right, third and fourth down. We got to move it along here.
Third down. I thought we were done. Third down, Patrick Saunders and many others reporting. Chris Bryant, not worried about his back issues long term. No surgery needed, but he's back to the injured list. So that's a lot of fun. And back to the dog pound for Jadeveon Clowney. A little over 11 mil, 9.5 guaranteed. So he'll be able to rush a quarterback not named Deshaun Watson.
All right. Very good, because he'll some point be playing with him. All right. We will take a break. We'll come back. Avs take on the Blues tonight. Chance for the Avalanche to clinch a Ball Arena. He'll have the call tonight on the team. Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche, joins us next on the Jim Davis Show.
I'm a big sports addict.
I like sports.
Sports.
This is the Jim Davis Show on the team. 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction. 102.1 FM, Delta Montrose. Talking Avalanche hockey with the voice of the Avs, Connor McGahee, on the team.
With us this morning on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, the radio voice of the Avalanche, Connor McGahee. Con Air, good morning. How you doing, man?
I'm good. And, you know, hey, look, if things go the way that we want, Jimmy, I may be watching Top Gun Maverick at a drive-in in the next couple nights. You know
yes.
what I'm saying?
So
let's take care of business tonight here.
Let's go, Avs. Come on, boys. Let's get it done tonight. Congratulations to you. Now, a couple of times on the Dan Patrick Show.
Yeah, made the play of the day last week with Manson's OT winner, and then yesterday with Kadri's hat trick.
Well done, sir.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know either time. How about that?
They don't have to send you a check or
actually,
something?
You know what? Someone did tell me about the Manson goal, but I didn't know we made it again with
yesterday.
The Kadri hat trick. Wow.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, man. Couple of times there, play of the day.
Well, I mean, clearly there was no other sports in the world the other night, so lack of options.
Stop it, sir. You do not have to be so humble. It's okay, Connor. I mean, for Nazem Kadri, considering what he has gone through, death threats, racial insults after the collision with Callie Rosen in Bennington. And all that went on there, that had to be for him cathartic, had to be in one of the best moments of his career to go out and get that hat trick the other night on hostile ice at Enterprise.
Yeah, I mean, and I was trying to think of anything. I mean, there are other storylines in sports that could maybe parallel something like that when it comes to adversity. I mean, specifically, and in that tiny time frame, I really haven't, you know, seen anything like that. You know, I mean, everyone always talks about, you know, Mark Messier calling the shot that, hey, the Rangers are going to win game six or whatever, and they do. But for Nazem Kadri to go through all that, and look, he was just impressive top to bottom, really. He was genuinely him, but he also handled things with kind of a mix of grace and confidence all at the same time. And to perform under those circumstances is tremendous. And not just perform. I mean, let's be honest. He pretty much won the hockey game for the Colorado Avalanche. Took advantage of his opportunities, played well, kept his cool, didn't bite when Chen tried to get him too early in the game. And the Perron and Buchnevich penalties, he draws, and then they don't actually score in the 5-on-3, but for all intents and purposes, they score on the 5-on-3. He gets the game winner right after that. And even in, I think the post-game comments that he had was most impressive, said in Darth Vader voice. Just because of, again, all the stuff that has been thrown at him, not just here, but according to him, his entire life. I mean, he said most people are probably not as mentally tough as I am, so I want to sort of lead by an example, and I think that he did that. So it was a night that all of us will remember forever, and I think Avs fans will as well. And I know that if the Avalanche weren't a team before, they definitely are now because of that.
Voice of the Avalanche, Connor McGahee, joining us. You mentioned all the things literally and figuratively thrown at Nazem Kadri in the last week, including water bottles and punches and elbows and sticks. I want to get your take, maybe a little bit hyperbolic, but I don't think too much. Maybe the best decision on ice of his career was to do nothing when the two Blues jumped on him to draw that 5-on-3.
100%. And this is the difference between the Kadri of yesteryear. I just like any opportunity to get yesteryear into a sentence. But old Kadri would have not done that. I mean, he would have fought back and maybe done something that he would have also looked back on and maybe regretted. But in that moment, you let, Sun Tzu, the art of war, don't interrupt an enemy when they're making a mistake. And that was exactly the approach that Nazem Kadri took. It was the right approach, and the Blues lost their focus. They focused on something else, someone else, and it ended up costing them the hockey game. Because if St. Louis wins, I mean, you're to the best of three series, and it's anybody can win. But 3-1 is a lot more difficult than 2-2. But you're right. In that particular moment, Nazem Kadri did brilliantly to just sort of take it for a little bit and let the penalties get assessed. Because, you don't. We say that with any scrum, don't we? No need to get in there and take an extra unnecessary penalty. Let them do that.
Avs radio voice Connor McGahee with us today on the Team Sports Network. Should David Perron be playing tonight?
Oh, man. I mean, that's...
I mean, should he be suspended?
Here's the thing. I used the equation the other day. Okay, in a game of soccer, if you swing at an opponent, it doesn't matter if you make contact or not. If you swing at somebody and you miss, it's still the same as if you made contact with somebody. It's still violent conduct, and it's still a red card, for example, and an automatic suspension. David Perron and the elbow after the Kadri goal, after Perron came out of the penalty box in the 5-on-3, it seems very obvious what he is trying to do there. Now, the league would probably say that, we can't be giving suspensions based on mind reading. We can only do things on what happened. I'm not sure if that's their official position, but I didn't care for that reaction after that, and thank goodness David Perron didn't make contact. So I think from the procedures that the league has followed before, they can not necessarily do anything, but everybody saw that, and I think everybody was grateful that elbow didn't make contact with the head of Nazem Kadri, because that would have been absolutely horrible.
Connor McGahee, voice of the Avalanche, with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. One of the things that's been missing from this series has been what we saw from Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar in the Nashville series, where they combined to score 8 goals in that sweep. It's been the other guys that have been getting it done, mostly Nazem Kadri, obviously, in the last game, and he has 4 goals in the series so far. Tonight, right, the night for the big guns to get going against St. Louis on home ice?
I mean, maybe. I mean, and the thing is when you're talking about 4 lines, you try and win as many matchups as you can. Sometimes it's easier to do on home ice than other times. I mean, look at the Rangers-Carolina series. Apparently, the last change means everything in that series, because the home team has won every single game. I mean, Carolina hasn't won a road game yet. I will say that Jared Bednar is not always he's said on numerous occasions he doesn't chase matchups, which I think shows a lot of confidence in your entire group top to bottom, because if you're so dependent on matching this group with that group, then if that is thrown off by any means, whether it's the last change, or we hope not an injury, then your whole plan falls apart. But when you're talking about depth for a hockey team, and especially in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, that's why you get guys like Arturi Lehkonen, and that's why you have guys like Nazem Kadri, and that's why you have the highest defensive scoring team in the National Hockey League, both in regular season and in the playoffs. And so everybody ropes, everybody rides. And the top guys are not going to be quiet for forever, and they'll show up exactly when they're needed. Could that be tonight? Maybe. But it is definitely a luxury for the Avalanche to be in the position that they're in at 3-1 in the second round. And for the most part, St. Louis, who is a great defensive team, we've talked about it before, have done a wonderful job in keeping the top guns quiet. But when your focus is there, then that allows for opportunity for the rest of your lineup to produce, and that's exactly what the Avalanche have done.
Avalanche voice Connor McGahee with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network, and the loss of Sammy Girard certainly did not help this team with the fractured sternum. But I thought Bowen Byram had the assist on one of the Kadri goals, but it was the second goal the other night.
He had
two assists, and then the one on the and then was what he did he assist on two of Kadri's goals or just one?
He assisted on the Eric Johnson goal,
right,
and the Kadri game winner. Yeah.
So Bowen Byram blocked a couple of shots the other night as well. He has stepped into that spot that vacated with the injury to Sammy Girard, and played really, really well.
Yeah, second unit power play for him, and that seemed like the natural choice when Sam Girard was out. Here comes Bo Byram. And it's always interesting because when you play on the same team as Cale Makar and you've been drafted a couple years after Cale Makar, everybody expects you to be the offensive weapon that Cale Makar is. That's not necessarily Bo Byram's style. But Bo Byram is as a complete defenseman as you could ask for. Goal-wise, he's not going to give you the flash that you get from Cale Makar, at least not yet. But again, entire package, Bo Byram, and Eric Johnson has said this on numerous occasions. He goes, hey, it's an embarrassment of riches back there. Bo Byram could be a top D pair defenseman on almost any other team in the National Hockey League. That's how good he is. So when Sam Girard goes out, it's a no-brainer for Bo Byram, who's played better and better as these playoffs have gone on, to put him on that second unit power play, to put him on the ice in more series and sequences and more situations and get him more ice time. Jack Johnson comes in. Him and Eric Johnson have been a natural pairing together throughout the season, which leaves Bo Byram and Josh Manson as a duo as well. But, again, the flexibility of Bo Byram to be able to play with anybody at any time is just a massive asset for the Colorado defensive corps. So Bo Byram, and I would expect nothing less out of him, has done a magnificent job of just doing whatever he's needed to do, asked to do every shift, every period of every game in these playoffs.
So, Connor, tonight, Moj was with you in St. Louis. Peter McNabb, who's it going to be with you tonight?
We're doing McNabb on the home game.
Okay.
So Peter McNabb will be back in the booth tonight for the Game 5 call, and then we'll see what the situation has here in the next couple days. But, yeah, the Irish are taking over again. McNabb and McGahee are back with you tonight.
All right, I love it. I love it. Hey, Connor, have a great call tonight. We'll have a pregame at 5:30, face-off right around 6 o'clock from Ball Arena. Chance for the Avs to close it out tonight and move on to the Western Conference Finals. Connor, appreciate it. Have a great call tonight.
Thank you, guys, as always. Have a great day.
Take care, and hopefully you get to go watch Top Gun. All right. Enjoy. All right, Connor McGahee with us this morning on the program.
From the con car, apparently.
From the con car, the con truck. I think he might have a truck.
I think he said he had a Colorado, a little newer one than yours.
Yeah, probably quite a bit newer than mine.
He's got that sweet radio money.
That's right. That's right. All right, we will take a break, and we'll come back next hour. We'll talk with Travis Lalleman, Crowder College, also Rob Fournier with Wabash. That's next hour, plus a chance to win some single-game JUCO tickets. That's next hour.